Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In a new interview, the former U.S. ambassador to Panama compared President Trump to a velociraptor, saying, quote, if you don't show him deference, he kills you. Also similar posture.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today, Seth talks to comedian Phoebe Robinson of Two Dope Queens. She also sticks around Studio 8G to answer a few more questions exclusively for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
The investigation of President Trump's campaign seems to be homing in on several key figures while also widening to include more countries. Meanwhile, Trump is spinning a wild conspiracy theory about the FBI spying on him. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. The president was holed up in the White House over the weekend with no public events, while the New York Times and other outlets published one new bombshell after another about his campaign's ties to foreign governments. So naturally, Trump got up bright and early Sunday morning and unfurled one of his longest and most incoherent Twitter rants yet. In fact, it would take too long to have someone read the whole thing for you. So as it goes, we're just going to have to speed it up. Here it is.
Things are really getting ridiculous. The failing and crooked, but not as crooked as Hillary Clinton, New York Times has done a long and boring story indicating that the world's most expensive witch hunt has found nothing on Russia and me, so now they're looking at the rest of the world.
At what point does this soon-to-be $20 million witch hunt, composed of 13 angry and heavily conflicted Democrats and two people who have worked for Obama for 8 years, stop? They found no collusion with Russia, no obstruction, but they aren't looking at the corruption.
The Hillary Clinton campaign, where she deleted 33,000 emails, 145 million lost secretaries, paid McCain's wife $700,000 to get off the FBI hook along with Terry M and so much more Republicans, and real Americans should start getting tough on this scam.
The witch hunt is getting up on Russia and is looking at the rest of the world. It should easily be able to take it from the
And don't worry about not being able to follow that. It actually makes less sense at normal speed. By the way, Twitter, did I ever thank you for raising the character limit? I didn't? Good. Also, it's not fair that a president who won't read a two-page press briefing makes us read a six-part Twitter rant. This rant is so long, it technically qualifies as a mini-series. Look for it streaming this summer on NetDix. Now, Trump is, in his usual way, conflating and lying about a whole bunch of issues. And one of them is a story published over the weekend about his son, Don Jr. Now, we already knew Don Jr. held that infamous Trump Tower meeting where he met with Russians, offering dirt on Hillary Clinton during the 2016 campaign. But what we found out over the weekend was that it wasn't just Russia. The New York Times reports that Don Jr. also met secretly with an emissary for the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia who said the countries wanted to help Donald Trump win. Now, this story is crazy for a variety of reasons. For one thing, it was arranged by Eric Prince, the private security contractor and the former head of Blackwater. So Saudi princes, Don Jr., and the Blackwater guy. The only people missing from that meeting were Dr. Strangelove and Monty Burns. Now, Prince was interviewed by the House Intelligence Committee last year as part of their investigation, and in his sworn testimony, it really seems like he straight up lied about his role in the Trump campaign, claiming he was just a casual supporter. What role did you play in the Donald Trump for President campaign? I played no official role or really unofficial role. I supported him monetarily. I attended some fundraisers. I wrote some papers on different foreign policy positions. So aside from writing these papers, donating, supporting in a yard sign in my yard. Just when you think you know every evil thing about Eric Prince, you find out he's a yard sign guy. What did the yard sign say? Looking for a secret meeting? Interested in world domination? Call Eric Prince at 1-800-EVIL. Now, let's just step back here and consider how many times Trump aides have lied or contradicted themselves in official testimony. When it comes to meetings with foreign governments during the campaign, just last week, the Senate Judiciary Committee released transcripts of its meeting with Don Jr. And here's one portion of that testimony where he changed his story multiple times in just a few sentences. What types of interactions were you aware of? Trump campaign officials and Russian government personnel? I was aware of none. Have you seen press reports about various meetings, such as with Ambassador Kislyak? If I could scratch my last statement, yes, I did read about that after the fact. Were you aware of those at the time they occurred? I knew something. I believe there was a meeting there. I wasn't part of the meeting, but yeah, I believe I was aware that it occurred. I didn't know about it. I knew about it after the fact. I knew about it when it happened. Man, Trump nailed it when he named this one.
He looks like someone who can't keep his story straight. Let's also call him Donald.
And then there's the fact that the official story from the Trump camp has always been that Trump himself was unaware of the meeting with the Russians. But then last week, Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, seemed to admit that he might have been aware at the time and just forgot about it. Giuliani said he would be surprised if the president knew at the time of the controversial June 2016 Trump Tower meeting. But even if he did, it would have made sense if it subsequently slipped his mind. Honestly, I would be surprised if he could remember. What a comfort it must be to have Rudy Giuliani in your corner. Don't worry, boss. I told him that maybe you knew about it, but you're too stupid to remember. You're welcome. Now, the other crazy part of this latest story about Don Jr.'s meeting with Gulf states is who else was in his office when the group met. Till now, there have been a few Trump aides who have managed to keep their names out of the special counsel's investigation, but the New York Times reports that when they arrived, Stephen Miller, a top campaign aide who is now a White House advisor, was in Donald Trump Jr.'s office as well. Yes, top campaign aide Stephen Miller. Although Miller wasn't actually in the office for the meeting, he was right outside in his usual spot on the ledge. So, with special counsel Robert Mueller's investigators closing in on several key Trump allies and finding out more about his campaign's ties to other foreign governments, Trump and his team are doing everything they can to obstruct the investigation. And now, Trump is spinning a wild new conspiracy theory about the FBI implanting a spy in the Trump campaign, and he wants the government to look into it. Trump tweeted on Sunday, "I hereby demand, and will do so officially tomorrow, that the Department of Justice look into whether or not the FBI or DOJ infiltrated or surveilled the Trump campaign for political purposes." Well, I've heard Donald Trump say a lot of things, but I never thought one of those things would be hereby.
I hereby demand an investigation, albeit heretofore unheard of. Nonetheless, I demand one forthwith.
Now, the FBI did have an informant working with them, but that's not a spy. I mean, seriously, you think they needed a spy to catch you colluding with Russia? All they needed was a microphone. You literally looked into the camera on TV and said, "Russia, if you're listening." That's like coming out of the bathroom with white powder under your nose and saying, "I am ready to party because I just did cocaine." This has been A Closer Look. Our guest is a funny comedian, actress, and best-selling author who co-hosts the podcast and HBO special Two Dope Queens. She stars in the Netflix film Ibiza, which begins streaming Friday. Please welcome back to the show, Phoebe Robinson, everyone. Welcome back, Phoebe.
This job suit, Seth.
I know. Well, thank you so much for just decking yourself out like this. You look like $1 million. You were last here. You didn't have to walk all the way over here. You walked there. You did stand up last time.
I did. And I did most of my set about my boyfriend who's not my ex. So
okay.
I'm going to blame you for that.
Yeah, it does tend to happen. Yeah. We tend to split people apart as opposed to bring them together here at Late Night. I'm so happy you're back. You have a new book. You're working on a new book.
Yes.
We have a cover of the book.
This is first exclusive. Look at this
cover. Very exciting, beautiful. What is your book about? I feel like everything is trash, but...
Yeah, it's going to be okay, guys.
Okay, good.
Just like the world is like kind of like a hot mess right now. Yeah. And, you know, I write about coming out of... I was like $60,000 in debt because of like student loans and everything. I write about meeting Bono twice.
Wow.
Yeah. For those three people who care about that story. I write about interracial dating. Like, it runs the gamut, so I'm really excited.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting. You know, with no offense to Bono, you met Oprah.
Oh, come on. Yes.
I don't think anybody ever meets Oprah and keeps her cool. How'd it go down for you?
You know, you're never prepared to meet Black Jesus.
That's, yeah, there
you go. You know what I mean? Yeah. No one.
Yeah.
Look at that.
So tell me how it comes, how it came down.
Okay, so Jessica and I got asked to open for her.
This is your partner?
Yes, for Two Dope Queens, Jessica Williams. And, yes! And we got asked to open for Oprah for her Super Soul Sunday sessions, and we were like, sure, of course, we're going to do it. Like, who's going to say no to that?
Yeah.
And so I was like, I got to get right for Oprah, so I'm like, I'm going to start a juice cleanse. And I started, like, 6 hours before the event.
Sure.
So it did no work, but I was like, I'm going to be my best self, is what she would want. So, like, I showed up, I was wearing this beautiful outfit, got my hair done, and I was like, I'm going to be super healthy. So I had, like, this dry-ass carrot, like, no ranch. It's just nibbling on a dry carrot in the corner. And, you know, you think they're going to be like, hey, Oprah's going to be here in 5 minutes. Like, there is no, like, warning. We were just, like, hanging out. And I just hear, Two Dope Queens! And I was like, ah! And I, like, threw my carrot across the room and, like, ran into her bosom. And that's, like, yeah, it was great.
That's really exciting. And now you're writing a book. Do you think there's a chance she will read it? And therefore, do you write thinking about what Oprah's reaction might be?
You know, I just want her to... Can I have my book? I can't reach for it. I just want her to put this, like, in the book club. Like, that's what I want.
Oh,
I
you
want,
just want the best thing for a book?
I want
you
her.
Just want the best thing that could ever happen to any book ever?
Yes!
Well, that's not asking for much.
Yeah. You know, like, she read the first book and... You know, I said the word peen in it a lot.
Yeah.
So she knows what she's getting with book two.
Yeah. I will say, after she read it, that's when she started. I don't think she knew that word, and now she uses it all the time. I want to ask about this as well. The movie is super funny. Vanessa Gillian, it takes place in Ibiza.
Yes.
And was it fun? Did you enjoy shooting with these guys?
It was so fun. I will say, you know, it's three girls women who go on a vacation. We crash Gillian's trip and we like go to a bunch of clubs. And the three of us aren't club people. So you gotta do like a lot of like club, like night shoots. And I feel like I was the Meryl Streep of club acting.
Oh, really?
You will think I'm on so many drugs in this movie. That's like how good I am.
Oh, that's great. I will. That's certainly something I'll look for. And you had a premiere. Your parents came to the premiere.
They did.
There are some scenes that maybe awkward to watch with your parents.
Yeah, a guy. Can I say this?
A guy
like went down on me in the movie.
Yeah.
So
in the actual fictional movie, not at the premiere.
Not in the theater. No. No. Thank you. Thank you for that assist.
Yeah. Because then you'd be like, and they didn't do anything?
They just ate their popcorn like, we're not even. But yeah, that's like awkward because I was sitting next to them and I was wearing like a ho dress, like it was very short. So I was like, this is like not a great moment. I'll see you guys at Christmas. But they like loved the movie.
That's good.
Yeah.
That is a success then. here's a picture because this ties in very nicely with having Amelia here. This is the actor who played Rob Stark. Richard Madden.
Scottish.
How was meeting up with him? Were you a Game of Thrones fan before you met him?
I started dating my current boyfriend. Don't break this up.
Okay.
So I started dating my current boyfriend. He's a super Game of Thrones fan. So I was like, I'm going to start this. Coincidentally, like right when I started shooting. So I was catching up. And so I was like, I'm going to play it cool. Like I know Richard gets harassed all the time. I'm not going to bother him. But one day we're in hair and makeup and I was like, I only know two things about Game of Thrones. I know that Jon Snow dies and comes back to life. And I know the Red Wedding happens, but I don't know who dies in it. And he's like, And then I watched it, and I was like, oh, it was you. It was him. Okay, great. Cool. He was so
and
weird.
And you think I break up your relationships. You're bringing up the red wedding in front of Robb Starr.
I know. Yeah. It was not my best moment.
That's
but
right.
He is so sweet. He has a very thick Scottish accent, so I would just be like, I don't know what you're saying to me, but...
Yeah, but there's a sweetness to the delivery.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for being back here again.
Thank
Always so great
so
to see
much.
You, Phoebe. Phoebe Robinson, everybody. Meet to begin streaming on Netflix Friday.
Hey, this is Henry from Late Night. I'm here with Phoebe Robinson.
Hi.
That was so great. So funny.
Thank you. It was a blast. Yeah. I'm wearing like a Spanx thong and
Spanx
I feel comfortable. Yes.
Good. I'm glad, I'm glad you feel
comfortable. It could be a nightmare. I could be sawed in half, but I feel okay. Sorry. Can you post that? That's a great way to start.
Yeah. I think we'll keep it.
Yeah.
I think it's good. I wanted to ask you. Okay. So you are a best-selling author.
Yes.
Super popular podcast host.
Yes.
Actress.
Yes.
You did stand-up?
Yes.
You did some improv at some point?
Yes.
Where did your comedy start?
Okay, so I moved to New York in 2002 to go to
Pratt. From Ohio?
From Ohio, from Cleveland, yeah, mm-hmm. to go to Pratt Institute and focus on, like, screenwriting. Like, my dream was I was going to write, like, serious movies mm-hmm. and marry Robert De Niro. Like, that was, like, the plan. And so I never thought about comedy, but there was... one of my good friends, Nori Davis, who's also like a great stand-up, mm-hmm. he was in our college's improv team. He's like, you should just like come and hang out. And I was like, all right. And I like joined it and it was very informal. We had like a lot of fun. But mm-hmm. when I graduated, I was still not like, comedy's a thing for me. And it wasn't until like summer of 2008 when a friend of mine wanted to take a stand-up class at Caroline's mm-hmm. in Manhattan that I did it. And I was like, oh, I really love comedy. I think this is what I should do with my life.
Yeah. What is a stand-up class like? Like, I've taken many improv classes. Stand-up, I've never tried stand-up. And stand-up classes seem so confusing and interesting to me.
It was really interesting because, like, there are some people there who just want to get better at public speaking. Like, it's a really, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
where it's
Like, makes sense.
Yeah, so it was, like, 8 weeks. And you just had to, by the end of the 8 weeks, have, like, 5 minutes of funny material.
Uh-huh.
So we would just, like, sit around, like... in a half circle. It's like Alcoholics Anonymous without like the sadness. And sorry. And, you know, we would just all like share like these jokes we have and just go around being like, this is a tag for this or this. You could write the punchline this way. And it was really, really cute. Yeah.
It's amazing. And now do you enjoy writing and still performing? Do you have a favorite thing that you get to do now? Because you're doing everything at once.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, so last fall, Alana Glazer and I mm-hmm. did
our... You wrote the foreword on this book.
Yeah, she wrote the foreword on this book. And we did our YQY, Yas Queen Yas stand-up tour. And that was super fun. So we mm-hmm. definitely want to go back on the road again. And it's just a unique sort of like job where you just like go out for like 45 minutes, say jokes, get the laughs immediately. So that's always super fun. I feel like book writing is the hardest of everything because you're like by yourself, like wrapped in a blanket being like, is this terrible? Is my editor going to think I'm the worst writer mm-hmm. ever? And then stuff like acting, like this is my first movie, Abiz is my first movie. So I think I really lucked out with Gillian Jacobs and Vanessa Bayer because they're so funny and
they're so,
so sweet.
Funny.
And they're like so accomplished. Like they've done this a uh-huh. lot. So it really felt like, oh, I could do more movies for sure. Yeah, yeah.
What was the first day in a movie set like? You've done TV shows before as an
actress. Yes, I have. Yeah.
It must be different as being in a movie. Serbia and...
In Croatia,
amazing.
Yeah. So I think the first scene we shot was actually the scene at the beginning of the movie where we're in the apartment with Gillian's character, Harper, who's telling us about mm-hmm. like, hey, I got this gig overseas in Barcelona. And so it was nice to kind of throw us in with the like, hey, be friends. And we like got to hang out and that was like super fun. And what's crazy is that Danny Motor, the cinematographer on the movie, his wife is Julia Roberts. And so she would like came to town with the kids.
No way.
And it was so cute. And she like wanted to come to set to like watch us. And we were like, what? Julia Roberts wants to see me act? And it was like, so she was so cute. Their kids are phenomenal. So uh-huh. it was really cool.
How intimidating is that though?
It was definitely, I normally don't get that intimidated, but I was like with her because you grow up watching her movies.
Yeah.
And she's like a good person. Like she stays out of the drama. So I was really kind of like, whoa, but she was so sweet.
That is amazing.
So sweet and nice. Yeah.
What did you guys do when you weren't filming. Green is a really interesting country. I don't know if you've been in either of these places.
I've never been either. So Vanessa and I really bond because we're both from Cleveland, Ohio. And so we're just like, where's the nearest mall? So we're always like trying to go to Zara or like Sephora or like whatever. And Gillian's like, we're in a new place. We should like look at like the architecture and like walk around. And we're like, no, we just want to spend money.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but it ended up being like super fun. Croatia was like so lovely and beautiful.
It looks beautiful.
And yeah. So it was
you lucked
really
out
awesome.
For a first movie.
Yes,
like
I
it's
know.
A really funny movie, and also where you got to film is incredible.
It was really really cool. Yeah.
So you came to New York for drama to marry Robert De Niro. You've not yet married Robert De Niro.
No, I think he's too old for me now.
But not then.
Yeah. No, back then it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. Now it's like, yikes. Yeah.
Are you still interested in doing drama? Because your comedy career is remarkable. You're still interested.
Yeah, I think I want to move into like writing for other people. I think that's always like super fun and like producing and sort of creating something. Like I think like with Toot Up Queens, like Jessica and I created that ourselves. We were like the executive producers on HBO, so we were doing everything from like approving set design to working with the head writer. And so being so involved with like the creative of all the things you don't think you have to think about when you're just in front of the camera made me be like, oh, I'm pretty good at being organized in this sort of way. So I definitely want to do more of that and like work with like an Ava DuVernay.
Yeah,
that
she's here
would
last
be
night.
I know that would be like the dream because she's like phenomenal. Yeah.
Do you love working with Jessica? Do you love just having a comedy partner like that?
Yeah, it was really good because our chemistry on stage was always just like what it is now. It's like
it started
what it
was.
It started that way. So I think it was really kind of like, I'm sure what happened with Key and Peele or Alana and Abby, where you're just like, it's either going to work or it's not.
Right.
And I think it was great that we didn't really have to like learn each other's comedy rhythms that much. Like we just sort of like could intuit it. And that was like great. Yeah.
The podcast is so great. The
Thank
HBO specials have been amazing.
Thank you.
Congratulations on everything. It was such a pleasure getting to meet you today. And you were so funny out there. It was really great.
I also want to say you have the best glasses in the biz. They're so like trendy with
Thank
the clear.
You.
I
let's
love it.
Let's get a plug to Warby Parker. They're Warby Parker. I don't even know which ones they're called. The Purcell.
Okay, so
honestly, like
everyone
half
run
the staff
out.
Is wearing clear glasses.
I'm
the second, and I think now you probably saw like 6 or 7 people backstage.
Yes.
But I feel like they're in now, and in 10 years, they're like, I remember when we all wore clear glasses and we thought that was cool? Those were terrible.
I know.
But thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it.
Of course, my pleasure.
Thank you for being here. This is such a pleasure.
You're the best.
You are the best.
Oh my God, okay, thanks.
Come back soon. Thank you.
I will, bye.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of 2 young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When 2 of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but 2 trials that ended in hung juries, and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.